Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back, my friends, to episode number 15. Holy moly, we have made it this far, and I'm in such a good mood today. I hope that transcends through your speakers so that you can also be in a great mood today, because moods are really just feelings, right? And our thoughts dictate our feelings and dictate our actions. So it all starts in the brain. Pretty cool, huh? Speaking of the brain, I want to talk about something that has been on my mind a lot. And it's something that I recently shared about on my social media platforms. And this thing is called shame. And when I shared about some of my shame, I wasn't talking about food specifically, but I so frequently see shame affecting our relationship with food, and as a direct result, our relationships with those around us. And I want to give you just a few examples. So based on the reception I got from this one single post talking about shame, I knew, okay, I'm going to default this week's podcast to next week. So stay excited for next week's episode. But we need, my friends, to talk more about this. Because I got so many DMs from you, several comments were left, people being like, OMG, you are speaking straight to my soul. I don't know how to talk about this, but I know I need to work on it. And I just want to say no to shame. And I don't know how. So since realizing that, I have captured just a few examples throughout coaching calls in which shame affects our mindset, our actions, our choices, and I want to share a few of those examples with you just in the last few days, right? Like, I'm not recalling back. This is how frequently these things pop up. So client number one expressed shame because she didn't feel as though she was reaching her goals as quickly as everyone else. "I'm wasting your time," she said. Because she felt not good enough because her pace of progress just happened to be slower than everybody else's. And if you do follow me on Instagram, then you know I recently shared about how I was feeling a little bit of shame surrounding my gentle leaning out process. So Patrick and I sort of embarked on this fun experiment of, hey, in a fun, life-giving way. We're not cutting out all of our favorite things. We refuse to do that, right? That's not life-giving to me. And I think we all have some of those non-negotiables where if I'm giving these things up, now it doesn't feel like it can last me forever. Now it has an expiration date and we're not about that. So I was feeling a little shame because he's seen great results. And yes, men see results faster than women generally. And that's what we're noticing. And I felt like, oh man, I wish I was seeing better progress so that I could show my following, which is crazy when you think about it, because the message that I preach is slow, sustainable fat loss, because that's really what's sexy. Not what can I do in the next 30 days, but where will I be in the next 330 days? And yet I got stuck in this comparison trap, not feeling like I was enough because my numbers weren't impressive enough. So yes, even I am still learning, and thankfully I have the tools to now talk myself off that ledge pretty quickly and acknowledge that, hey, this feeling, it's not rooted in truth, dismiss it. One example, client number two expressed shame because she had made a reservation for her family to eat out for Easter dinner. She said to me, "I feel bad, I'm not cooking like other moms." shame around feeling too tired, too stressed, too busy to cook a meal, even though her family was going to be fed on Easter. Client number three expressed shame after hearing someone comment on her diet. She mentioned at a family gathering that she was working with a nutritionist and she had eaten dessert. And a family member said, "Well, you must have ruined your diet today." Shame. Immediate shame. Because a family member thought and projected, "Ah, well, you must not be doing a good enough job if you ate dessert." And client number four expressed shame surrounding needing space and grace in order to work through the grief of a family member who had recently passed away. "I should be doing better," she said. "But sometimes we just need to press pause. Sometimes we need to give ourselves some room to grow. And that doesn't mean being super diligent with our protein habit or being super diligent with our water consumption or whatever. Sometimes it means giving ourselves space and grace." So just four very, very recent examples of how this creepy little thing called shame snuck up on these individuals, and they probably have no idea that that's what they're describing to me. But when we break it down, shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by this consciousness of wrong or foolish or less than behavior. And before we dive into what do we do about food shame, I'm whipping out my Brené Brown. She is an amazing shame scientist, and herself and some other researchers have done a great job of separating shame from guilt because they're not the same thing. And I do want to make sure that we're acknowledging that. So guilt can be helpful in certain circumstances, right? Because guilt holds us something that we've done or something that we maybe didn't do. It holds that against our values and our morals individually. And maybe if those two aren't in alignment, we feel some discomfort. That would be guilt. Whereas shame is just this intensely painful feeling or this experience of believing that we are somehow deeply flawed, messed up, unworthy of love, unworthy of belonging. Because of something we've done or not done, we don't deserve connection. We don't deserve results. We don't deserve whatever the goal is. And shame, I believe, and Brené Brown supports this idea, is never helpful or productive. In fact, usually it's detrimental and it's harmful to our behavior. So this shame encourages fear, and the fear holds us back. "I'm not good enough. I shouldn't be doing that thing. Who am I to want those results?" And I think we just need to be clear on the differences between shame and guilt. So let's just make sure we have that basis covered. But I think it's also important to note that shame often comes from labeling food as either good or bad. And of course, we're talking about food shame. So let me know if you've ever heard or perhaps spoken one of the following. And if you have been on the receiving end of this, how did it make you feel? Just a few examples. "You aren't going to eat that, are you? Wow, look at how much you have on your plate. I don't think that that's healthy to eat that way. No. Are you sure that you want to eat all of that?" Just a few examples. We have all experienced food shame. And you might have not known it at the moment, but friends, this is food shame, where someone is projecting that there is a right way and a wrong way to eat, to enjoy food, to diet, whatever. But that's not true. We all know there is no cookie cutter or one size fits all approach. We know that. Now, if you're new and tuning in, you might not know that, in which case, please continue going back through podcast episodes that we have here, because No. There is not one right way for you to eat. There is not one label that you can just slap on yourself, whether that's I'm a plant-based eater, I'm low carb, I'm whole foods only. Like, labels are just prissy, in my opinion. My words, nobody else's. They're just prissy. We like to have this label of like, oh, don't you love my Dolce & Gabbana purse? Like, I don't even know if they make purses, right? I'm so out of touch with fashion. But we want to have this name, this label. We want to have the recognition that comes with that. And so then we start projecting that onto other people because, well, if they're not buying organic produce, oh my word, how less than of you. Or GMO, oh my gosh, haven't you heard all the research? Guys, whenever this happens, we are moralizing food. And whenever food takes on moral value, we are projecting shame. Because when food has moral value, food is either good or it's bad. But it doesn't stop there. The people who eat these foods are either good or bad. And there is so much wrong with that line of thinking. And sometimes I don't even think we are recognizing that we are making this connection in our brains. So I want you to be really brutally honest with yourself. If you see someone, maybe this person appears to be struggling with his or her weight. You don't know that, right? Not your body, not your business. But let's just say this person seems to be struggling with their weight and you see him or her eating fast food, big, juicy burger, French fries, Coke. Do you make an assumption about that person? Again, no one can hear you inside your brain, so you can go ahead and be honest. But I'm going to bet that for sure, yeah, you do. And yes, some of that is cultural, but a lot of that is food shame. We are creating a strong fear that if I don't do things the right way, oh my gosh, I am not good enough. And sometimes we speak, my nutrition coaching with Nicole community, we speak about this in terms of all or nothing thinking. So unless I'm eating all perfect whole foods because that's the label, healthy, clean, whatever that means, unless I'm 100% eating that way, I am, air quotes, hear them, off the wagon. Fear. Suddenly, I am full of shame and not good enough. Sometimes this food shame is so powerful that a person will become so strict with his or her physical and emotional health that they will become malnourished. They will develop eating disorders. There is a thing called orthorexia, where you are obsessed with the healthy eating mindset. So unless something is quote unquote healthy, they won't eat it. And it becomes an obsession and disordered eating. It's a thing. There are so many examples of people who experience this food anxiety, and ultimately it comes down to food shame. Whether we're shaming ourselves or someone else is projecting that shame onto us, and we have to, hear me, bold, italicized, underlined, we have to stop. Because we know 100% without a doubt, there is no one right way to all of our destinations, right? Your goal is probably wildly different from the next person's. And even if you have the same exact goal, you do not have the same exact body. You do not have the same exact lifestyle. You do not have the same exact taste preferences and hormone profile, metabolism. You don't. You must take an individual approach to your nutrition strategy, to your relationship with food, and to what foods you label as being helpful, supportive of your goals or not, right? And I think we all need to work a little harder at respecting everyone else's choices, especially when they do not align with our own. And guys, whew, I feel like I need to take a drink of water. I'm getting a little heated up here. This is what I do. And I don't think diet culture is progressive enough to understand it yet, because we're all still like, oh, have you tried this 12-step diet program or this 30-day quick fix or this Jillian Michael? Like, I don't know. Those do never, they never work. They do not work for everyone ever. Amen. In fact, I would argue they don't work for most people. Maybe there is a person out there that it works for. Unless you are listening to your individual body and finding the foods, the styles of eating, the relationship components for why you eat or how you eat, unless you are choosing an individual path, you will always fail. And the research backs this up. Can I tell you something? Over 90% of people who lose weight will gain it back. And this is why there's now this big bandwagon about don't try to lose weight, don't try to diet, it's not healthy for you. And for some people, that's true. For everyone, no, absolutely not. Dieting, however, is not right for you or for anyone because it clearly doesn't work. If something had a kitchen appliance, if it had a 90% failure rate, would you purchase it? I sure as hell hope not. If your relationship had a 90% chance of failing, would you make that commitment? I don't know, but you'd probably think hard as hell about it, right? And I want you to think just as hard about the weight loss strategies and the diets you've tried before, because over 90% of them fail every single freaking time. So we have to, there is no other way than to find an individual customized approach that doesn't feel restrictive. Does that mean you're gonna lose weight slower? Yes, probably. But if that means you live a higher quality of life in a body you feel confident about that matches the insides and you feel like you're thriving and you're performing well and you just feel healthy, you're not gonna get there from following a prescriptive program. You just won't. So find what works for you and your body. And then please, for the love of all that's good, do not expect or project everyone else around you to follow that same thing, because their journey might look different than yours. So let's talk about a few steps that I think we should all remember that will help us to mitigate food shame. Because food shame is a soul-sucking monster. Like, it really is. And if we could just do away with the whole shebang, we would all be a hell of a lot better for it. So number one, know this. What you choose is up to you. I want you to hold on tightly to your power of choice and resist the urge to fall for marketing that inspires fear. Unless you do this, you're doomed, right? Like, keto is the only way right now. If you're not doing keto, who are you even? Like, watch out for that. Also, resist the urge to jump on somebody else's bandwagon and instead make decisions that work for you and your family and let go of worries about judgment from others. Because what you do with your body is nobody's business but yours. And I will say that till I'm blue in the face. What you choose is up to you. Number two, please learn how to set healthy boundaries. The power of conversation is huge. And in order to have healthy relationships, we must set healthy boundaries, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when someone who is close to you and important to you will start a food conversation. And in that food conversation, they might say some of the things like I mentioned earlier, in which case you're left reeling with shame. That's not okay. If a person cares about you, sometimes the people in our lives that care about us the most don't know how to express that, especially if they are struggling with their own food issues. If you missed last week's episode, "Your Diet is Destroying Your Daughter's Relationship with Food," please go listen to that. Lots of times, people mean the best. They have good intentions, but they are also working on their individual relationship with food. And so sometimes that bleeds into what they say to us. So set your boundaries, respect yourself enough to have boundaries, and know that you can refuse to respond simply by changing the topic of conversation. So if someone is asking you about your diet, your weight, your body, you do not have to engage. Hard stop. We could just leave it at that. But you can also choose to set healthy boundaries in which you are responding affirmatively and you are being firm and assertive without being disrespectful. So I'm going to give you an example. One of the clients that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode was the client who was at a family gathering and she had enjoyed everything we talked about, which was, okay, I want you to think about a lean protein, I want you to think about a vegetable, and I want you to really enjoy those. And then I want you to choose your favorite smart carb and your favorite item of dessert. And I want you to enjoy every freaking bite. That was the goal. And she executed it beautifully. And then she had a family member say, well, I guess you really messed up your diet today. And she was so brave and bold enough to stand up for herself and say, actually, I didn't. I followed our plan. Tears welled in my eyes. Like, that is the most beautiful thing I have ever heard. You can stand up for yourself. There was I don't remember what episode it was, but being assertive doesn't make you an asshole. Go listen to that podcast episode as well if you haven't done so already. You need to be your own advocate. And if that means just avoiding the conversation right now, set those boundaries. But if that means standing up for yourself, set those boundaries. Number three, accept wholeheartedly that there is no one-size-fits-all diet. It is truly beyond time to stop judging others and stop judging ourselves for what we choose to put into our bodies. Our relationships with food are entirely individual. What we eat and how we eat is intimately personal. And it is not up to anyone else to determine what you should or shouldn't eat. So if you feel confident with your strategy, if you know that you're not making an all choice, right? A perfect choice, but that's not realistic anyway. So you feel good about it. Don't let anything shake you. Stand on your solid ground. There's no one size fits all. So stop trying to hop from program to program, from person to person, from expectation to expectation, finding the right thing, because you'll never find it. You will live your entire life flittering. Flittering, is that a word? I don't even know. Aimlessly. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to own, powerfully own your individual, your unique body and the relationship with food that is going to allow you to live in your most confident, healthiest, happiest frame. That's what I want for you. And a big part of that is number four. Realizing that it's the food shame that's the problem, not the food itself. I want you to think about an instance where you felt food shame. So maybe it was a family member that made a comment to you. Maybe it was you holding yourself to an unrealistic expectation. And I want you to think about that experience. And I'll describe one, and maybe it's one you can relate to. Perhaps you feel really guilty for eating something. Maybe it's a piece of bread, God forbid. You're having something that you feel shame about because in your brain, it doesn't fit the healthy label. So maybe you eat it really quickly, or maybe you eat it in secret at night when everyone goes to bed, or maybe you eat it and then you only have a small portion because, well, what if someone's watching? And those behaviors keep you from actually feeling satisfied. So then it ends in a binge or this out of control feeling when it comes to food. Because food shame tells us that I shouldn't be eating the bread. I shouldn't be eating the cookie. I shouldn't be eating the pizza, which leads us to restrict. And then we get really freaking hungry and we end up depriving ourselves mentally and physically. And we know restriction, deprivation always leads to binging. And then how do you feel after you binge? Full of shame. And we shame ourselves back into restricting all over again. Like, guys, mind blow. I'm blowing my own mind right now. This cycle happens over and over and over again. And I hope you can see. You can write it out if you have a piece of paper there. Food shame, restriction, feeling deprived, binging, food shame, restriction. Like, it's a cycle. And if we affect the initial food shame, if we do away with it entirely, do you see how the cycle breaks down? Do you see that? I want to leave you with a few questions. Because this is programmed now, right? Especially with the prevalence of diet culture. And someone is always out there screaming at you what you should or shouldn't do. Even if they don't know anything about your body. So when you are initially feeling this food shame, maybe you're enjoying something like that piece of pizza, like that slice of bread, like the beer on the week. I don't know what it is. It doesn't even matter. I want you to to ask yourself these questions. Number one, what am I telling myself that eating or not eating this food means about me? What does that mean? Because we've got a pretty good idea if eating that thing means that I am a bad person or a less worthy person, it's probably not the right choice for us. And that is stemming from shame. I also want you to ask question number two, what am I gaining or losing by eating or not eating this food? Sometimes we make it all about the food morality. Is this good? Is this bad? I don't know. Nicole, what should I do? What do you gain by eating that thing? Does it just taste really delicious? Do your taste buds just love it? Does it help you feel mentally at ease because now you're not restricting yourself? Does it help you physically by nourishing your body? Great. To all of the above, great. But if you're gaining shame or it's going to leave you feeling bloated and lethargic and unhappy with energy crashes, then again, maybe something to reconsider. Question number three, what do I think will happen if I eat or don't eat this food? So remember, our point right before this was that it's not the food. We like to think food is good or bad, and if I follow this plan exactly, I'm going to be guaranteed success. The food is not the issue. The food shame is the issue. So I have a lot of clients who come to me afraid of carbohydrates. Maybe they've done low carb diets before. They've heard carbs are bad. They feel like I'm an easy gainer when I eat carbohydrates because of water weight fluctuation. No one ever taught them about the difference between fat gain and weight gain when we manipulate carbohydrates in our diet. If that's something you want to learn more about, let me know. I'm happy to help. What do you think will happen? Because if I think I'm going to gain weight by eating this piece of bread and then I eat the piece of bread, guess what I feel now? Shame. And am I more or less likely to make a positive choice after that? Probably less, because now I feel shame. What's the point? I'm in this nothing part of the all or nothing cycle. So I might as well eat five more pieces of bread or the cookie and the cupcake and the cracker, whatever it is, because I told myself I was going to gain weight from eating this thing. That was the fear. That was the shame. And last but not least, how do I want to feel about my food, about my health, and about my body? How do you want to feel? Sometimes we forget to follow a feeling and we follow the aesthetics. What is the weight doing? What are my clothing sizes saying? What is the body fat percentage reading? Those things are great metrics to use if we're in a healthy headspace to use them. But how do you want to feel in your body and about your food is so much more important. And if you don't find a coach that targets this, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because the next thing that you're going to ask is, How would someone who feels the way I want to feel talk to themselves, nourish themselves in this situation? My friends, this is authenticity. This is as unapologetic as it gets. Figure out how you want to feel in your body, with your relationship with food, with your health, and then run hard after the feelings that that version of yourself executes. I just asked my coaching clients this question in an email. I said, I want you to tell me where you're going to be a year from now. And I want you to paint it beautifully in your head. I want you to draw this picture. And I'm going to ask you about it on our next coaching call. Because what I want to do now is make sure that we are making the choices that that version of yourself would be making. Do you see what I'm saying? If I want to feel a certain way, I can't expect to feel that right now if I haven't made any of those choices, made any of those behaviors that support that feeling. But if I start making those choices, making those behaviors, changing my relationship with food in that way now, I can ensure that I feel that way if I'm consistent. But how you want to feel, that's up to you. We go back to choice. No one else can answer that question for you. So as you go throughout your day, every time you eat, ask yourself, what am I telling myself that eating or not eating this food means about me? And here's an example. Let's say it's lunchtime and you really want pizza. So your food shame perspective would say eating this pizza means I'm fat, I'm lazy, and I'm gonna gain so much weight. Gosh, no one's ever gonna love me. I'm never gonna reach my goal. I know you think those things, P.S. How do I wanna feel? Like, how do I want my body to feel? How do I want my health to feel? I want you to ask yourself that question. And I hope that you have an answer similar to, I wanna feel freedom around food. I don't wanna be afraid of it. I want to accept and trust that I can eat based on my taste buds and based on the way my body feels, and that will leave me feeling healthy and confident and not restricted, not deprived. And I want to love my body no matter what. I want to learn how to do that. So if we ditch the shame and we reframe the scripting, that becomes cool. A piece of pizza or, you know, a pizza lunch doesn't mean anything about me. I choose food freedom. Do you see the difference? And how might that difference project onto your life and influence your choices in a positive way? What if there was no shame when it came to food, when it came to your choices, when it came to your relationship with food and why you eat and how you eat and where you eat? What if? I want you to know it's possible, and it might not feel that way, but it is possible, because there is no room for food freedom in a healthy, life-giving relationship with food. And y'all know this is what I do. So if you need some help with it, if this hit a nail on the head for you and you're sitting there or you're at the gym or you're in your kitchen doing some meal prep and you're like, wow, this woman is speaking to my soul, please know that you don't have to do it alone. Please reach out. Let's just chat, because I'm here for you. And the rest of you, if you thought this resonated with you, if you'd like to hear more along this line, please leave a review. Your 5-star review would mean everything to me. Love you all, and I will catch you on the flip side. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.